Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
What a beautiful worship song. Emmanuel, God with us. If I may invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's word. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. I will carry us through verse 10, and then I'd like for all of us to read verse 11. And again, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 2. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." This was not genuine, obviously. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. I'll pause here. You ready? Here we go. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Father, we are so grateful to be here to think about the fact that your son was born, the perfect God-man, Emmanuel with us, who suffered and died for our sins, who rose again and is now with us here now in our hearts. And we pray that as we work through today's message, Father, that there would be a rekindling in our hearts, in our desire as believers, for those of us in the family of Christ, to share the gift, the best gift of all, to share Christ with others in this weary world we are in. And I pray this, we pray this, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, we love shopping here in the United States. I'd like to share some stats with you about how far we go to buy some of these gifts. Finance Online, which gets a lot of its data from Deloitte, MasterCard, Salesforce, and the like, states American consumers have been consistently spending more money on Christmas gifts each year since 2008. Holiday retail sales statistics for the previous year prove just how much Americans love the tradition of Christmas gift giving. I'm going to read just a couple of highlights here. Total holiday retail sales in 2020 reached almost $790 billion despite the pandemic. So for all the fears of the pandemic, it doesn't stop us from shopping, does it? The period between December 15th and 24th was predicted to account for 40% of all Christmas sales in 2020. It seems some of us like to procrastinate just a little bit. U.S. shoppers spent $200 billion online during the holiday season. In 2021, experts predict that online sales will make up 16% of total retail sales, and it will hit 18% in 23 and almost 20% by 2025. 60% of consumers start their Christmas shopping before December, while 62% of U.S. shoppers buy gifts in the week before Christmas, which reminds me of a story of one of our sons. I'm going to keep his last name private just to protect his identity. So Matthew, when he was about 8 or 9 years old, procrastinated on a gift for his mom and got her a gift card and proceeded to wrap that gift in painter's tape. If you don't know what painter's tape is, it's okay. At the end of the service, we'll go back there and gift you some. I'm joking. So he proceeds to gift in painter's tape. There are times where my wife and I will look at something like that and laugh and think to ourselves, do we correct that or do we save that and not say anything because maybe there's a story in there down the road when he's married and we get a call from his wife that says, you won't believe what your son did with my gift. Oh, do tell. So I'd like to draw your attention back to what we just read in Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to focus primarily on verse 11 because I think that more often than not, especially around our nation, we may forget the intent behind Christ, why he came to this earth, the fact that he did dwell with us, but then the fact that he died, resurrected, and commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. So there's a story from a lady from Williams Lake, British Columbia. She says, when my niece was a student, her class of six-year-olds sang Hark the Herald Angels Sing at a Christmas concert. The line, God and sinners reconciled, was a tricky one for this age group. One little boy, with a voice that completely drowned out the rest of the choir, happily belted out, God and sinners dressed in style. And I think we live in a world where we could easily do the same. We could jumble the true message, which is that God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:18 says. God took human form in the womb of a virgin, died on a cross, and was raised from the dead. And now we're given the opportunity of accepting his free gift of salvation and having eternal life with Jesus. And for those of us in the family of Christ who've already done that, our job is now exclusively to go out and share that gift with others. You see, Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And that is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Romans 6, 23 says that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think we seem to forget that this time of year. We seem to place our energy and focus around going out and purchasing gifts. And that is our tradition. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But what I am saying is I think throughout the year we forget that really the most important gift that we can give is Jesus Christ, is the hope that he offers, because it's a permanent one. It's not a temporary one. We all come and we enjoy Advent and the wonderful worship services and the joy of the moment. But let's not kid ourselves, the moment leaves. And sometimes we're left with the holiday blues, especially those around us who are not of the family of Christ. And so what hope do they have? What hope can they expect? What hope do they have? And well, I would encourage us to go back to the Word of God and draw from it the hope that we are encouraged to share with them. And so for that, why don't we go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I'd like us all to go there. Again, it's the end of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always till the end of the age. Why am I harping so much on discipleship on Christmas? Well, I'm harping on it so much because I think that the gifts that we give ourselves here are temporary. They're nice, don't get me wrong, but they are temporary. And I think we miss the greater point of sharing the gift, which is Jesus Christ and the eternal life that he offers. We miss that if we don't share Christ with the weary world around us. Christmas is about sharing the gift of Jesus Christ with others. It's not about the cool gifts or the shopping craze or good eggnog. It's much more than that. For those of the family of God, again, who have accepted that beautiful and wonderful gift, the best gift of all, we're now to share that gift with those around us. There's a quote that I'd like to share from my mentor, and that is, a disciple is a person who is committed to following Christ by learning and practicing the teaching and life of Christ, eventually to such a degree that anyone or anything else in this present life is secondary. Does that represent you? Does that represent me? I don't know yet. I hope that at the end of my life I can say yes. I can say, like the Apostle Paul, that I've run the race, I've fought the fight, and I've lived this life on mission for Christ. But it's important to redirect us during this time. It's important that we understand why we're here on earth. The moment that we've accepted the free gift of Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation, and it is free, costly, but very free, then our job is to go and tell others about him. It's not just about honoring the birth of Christ, which is beautiful. It's wonderful, because without the birth, we don't have the death and resurrection. But it's not to stop there. It can't. Otherwise, we've shortchanged the gospel. It has to continue from there. We have to share the gospel with others. Making disciples requires us to share the gift that is Jesus Christ. Accepting him means spending eternity with him. You see, Matthew chapter 28 is telling. It's part of all of Matthew. It's a Jewish person telling Jewish believers about Jesus from start to finish. And verses 18 through 20, we see a two-part process. One, a baptism, which represents the conversion process. The second is teaching to observe. Means not only teaching others about Jesus and his word, but teaching with the ultimate goal of practicing what his word says. So this is the greatest gift of all. Why is it the greatest gift of all? Well, because in Jesus we have permanent hope, joy, strength, relief, love, grace, forgiveness, justice, and eternal life. We have that permanently. And I don't know about all of you, but I think this world has been dying for that for a very long time. And who but us in the family of Christ to present this great gift to a weary world? So, let's go back to the main passage. Observe with me that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, these wise men opened up their treasures, which back then was a small or large chest holding valuables, that's all that was, and presented gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts had significance, and I don't want to harp too much on the significance of the gifts, but I do want to draw your attention to them. Gold was symbolic of Jesus' kingship, and we see that this was also a significant gift in the ancient East. If we go to Genesis chapter 43, verse 11, I'll read that quickly for you. And their father Jacob, renamed Israel, said to them, If we must do so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man. This was the Pharaoh, Joseph, who he didn't know was his son at the time. A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, we see that the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue of camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. But we see that she brought lots of gold with her as well. Frankincense is the gum of resin or resin in a boswellia tree used for making perfume and incense. It was one of the ingredients that God instructed the Israelites to use in making the pure and sacred incense blend for the most holy place in the tabernacle. You see, frankincense was very expensive. It was collected in remote parts of Arabia, North Africa, and India, and had to be transported long distances by caravan. Today, frankincense is a popular essential oil. It's believed to have medical benefits, such as easing stress, improving heart rate, breathing, and blood pressure, to name a few. We can surmise that frankincense was symbolic of Jesus' divinity. Myrrh was also an expensive spice, used for making perfume, incense, medicine, and for anointing the dead. In biblical times, myrrh was an important trade item obtained from Arabia, Abyssinia, and India. Myrrh was used raw and crushed and mixed with oil to make a perfume. It was also used medically to reduce swelling and stop pain. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 39, we read that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus brought a mixture of approximately 75 to 100 pounds of myrrh and alloys to anoint Jesus' body, then wrapped it in linen cloths and laid it in a tomb. We can note that myrrh likely suggests the passion and burial of Jesus Christ. All right, so thank you, Pierre, for the lesson in history. So what? What's important? What am I to take from all this? What's my takeaway for today? Well, I'm glad you asked. Each person of the family of Christ here this evening has a treasure chest filled with symbolic gold for now to go out and share Jesus with the world. That's wonderful. I think we could say a prayer and call it a day. And I would have shortchanged the message. So I'd like to challenge all of us, and I'd like to make it more meaningful, if you'll allow me. I've got 3 points for all of us today. Number one, I'd like us all to consider giving our time. I'd like us all to consider giving our treasure, and I'd like us all to consider giving our talents for Christ. Because we are all commanded to share the gospel and make disciples, I'd like to challenge you with giving a pleasing aroma when witnessing. Make time to tell others about Jesus. I can assure you that we've all made time here. If not all, the majority of us here have made time to go shopping for Christmas items, for Christmas gifts. And therefore, I know that we can all make time to go and share Jesus with someone who needs to hear about him. In our home, perhaps, in our neighborhood, our place of employment, the gym, you name it, there are people who desperately need to hear about Christ. I'd like to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, "But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. And now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume." You remember frankincense and myrrh? I'd like to challenge you when interacting with people outside the faith to share your story. You all have an important story to tell. You don't have to be up here preaching. We don't have to be preachers and teachers of the Word of God to be able to tell others about Jesus. We all have a special story of how we came to the faith. And so I encourage you to share, being careful to guard your testimony. 1 Peter chapter 2:12 says, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your honorable behavior and will give honor to God when he judges the world." It may be the difference between a sweet aroma and stinkweed, so be careful how you share the gospel. But I encourage you to share it nevertheless. Learn to first listen. Job had three dummies for friends. The best thing they ever did was to sit quietly for 7 days with him when he lost everything. No need to hand out Bible quotes when someone is breaking down before you. Sharing truth with grace comes later. I have another mentor that says, never miss an opportunity to shut your mouth and listen. And so I encourage you all to share the gospel in a meaningful way with sweet fragrance. Let that frankincense and myrrh be something that comes out of you through the way that you say things, through how you behave with others when you are sharing the gospel. Secondly, because there are those of you who are financially blessed, give from your treasures. How? James 1:27 says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God and the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. We live in Southwest Virginia. Look for ways to help. Can I offer a couple of suggestions? There are lots of children in the foster care system. When my wife and I last looked, we moved out here from Arizona. There were over 80,000 children in the foster care system in Maricopa County alone. I don't know what the figure is for here in Southwest Virginia, but I can assure you it's in the thousands. These are children who don't have mothers and fathers. Look for widows in distress or in need. More recently, we had the CARS, Work Bags of Joy. And those are great programs. Foster programs, adoption, warm hearth village, assisted living, single moms. Donations are good, but make it personal if possible. Have you thought about adoption or helping someone who is a widow? Someone who is in the foster care system? I think around this time of year, it's easy to write a check or donation and forget. And I'm not saying that those are bad things. Please don't mishear me. But can we make it more personal moving forward? Can we go out and look for ways to bless those who are in dire need? An elderly person who is widowed. A child who doesn't have a mom or a dad. Not just during the time of Christmas, but maybe something that we do come 2023. And oh, by the way, don't fall into the trap of favoritism, which is easy. James chapter 2 cautions us against that. You see, it's easy when we see someone come through the doors of church looking cleaned up to say, oh, hey, let's be friends. Come, let me meet you and let's be buddies. But then when someone comes through those same doors, ragtag and looking like they need help, we're oftentimes very dismissive of them. And we'll quickly say, you may want to sit toward the back of the church. And so I would encourage us, as we're sharing the gift of Christ, to be careful and wary of favoritism. Go to where the need is. Find someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ and invest in a meaningful relationship. Again, if the Lord has given you means to do it, build a relationship. Take the person out for coffee or lunch. Spend time with that person. I've had the privilege of doing that with many of you here. And I've had the privilege of doing that with people outside the faith. And that's how we have to do it. Those of you who have treated me, God bless you. Those of you who have poured into me, God bless you. There are those outside who are dying to hear the word of God, who need Jesus Christ. And what better than to present them with the greatest gift of all? And so, follow the Holy Spirit's prompting, present the gospel message to that person. Notice I haven't brought up anything about giving more to your church, and I'm not going to. This is about making it tangible for us. This is about taking the gift, Christ, to the world around us. And then last but not least, because death stench has invaded our lives the past 3 years with disease and a virus and mental health and more, give people in your life a place to find hope and healing. Open your home for discipleship, for a small group. Is that something that maybe some, if not most of you, can do. I sure hope so. I think people are sick and tired of listening to our thoughts and opinions on sports, politics, and whatever other news headline there is that's popular today. They're dying to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about the hope that he offers, and only he can offer. And so, the last thing I would say is, maybe hold a neighborhood block party. It's 75 degrees outside. Why not do that? If possible and within your means, bless your neighbors with food and water. We did this. Now, it's, again, being practical about this, can't do that right now. But there was a time where I had to be shaken out of my comfort zone, and we did that with our family. We hosted a block party, and we just brought people in together. And when they asked who was donating the burgers and the hot dogs and the water, we just let them know Jesus did. We didn't have to preach at them. Little by little, we made our way into their hearts. Listen to their stories and watch the Lord at work. There is a weary world out there waiting to hear about Jesus Christ. And here's the best part. Again, for those of you who are of the family of Christ, you all have a treasure box. You all have giftings. You all have talent. A lot of you have treasure. And all of you have time. All of you have talents. And so I'm encouraging you to take the gift that someone once offered to you that you've accepted and to share that with others around you. In closing, if you're not of the family of Christ, tonight is a good night to accept that marvelous gift. You see, John 3:16 says, "For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." So, yes, he was born. And there is everything beautiful about that. But I'd like to share a secret with you. He didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He was sinless. He was perfect. He did everything you and I couldn't do. But he modeled love and truth and grace so well. Not so that we could hoard it. Not so that we could comfortably sit here today and on Sundays. But so that we could take this message of hope. So that we could take this beautiful and free gift and share it with those around us, with the weary world. A thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. Do you know how that weary world rejoices? It's only through Christ, friend. He and only he can offer that. And so tonight, I bring you Jesus. I can't bring you anyone else. He is the best gift of all. Amen. If the worship team can come up.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.